Looks like we have a change of plans. With Held on the way and refugees pouring in, it just doesn't seem right leaving Targos just yet. However, I won't lie and say I'm not champing at the bit to get down to Bryn Shander. With the speaker confirming my mother there, safe and sound, most everything is going out the window. Except a name. A name I haven't heard in years and sends chills to my bones. But that will have to wait, because we have work to do on today's short quest, Long Rest.
A little early here because we've been having an existential crisis of the game Mousetrap, if anyone remembers that. Did anyone ever play it?
Yeah. This started because I started singing the theme, but yes. Hell yeah, as a kid I played Mousetrap all the time. Like I said, we more set it up and did the stupid thingy, but not as much actually played the game. We have played the game, but not very often.
So you'd set it up. Okay, so you actually did play.
Yes.
You played by the rules that were in the box.
Yes. What those are, I don't remember.
Did anyone else, have we found the one person on the planet that's ever done that?
I've never played it.
Nope.
I've never played it.
Did you own it?
I mean,
did you?
I owned it, never played it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I owned it. I got it from the op shop. But
most of the time we played Game of Life or Jenga.
Ooh, Life's a good one.
Game of Life was a good one.
Yeah.
We also played Monopoly and then hated each other for about a week afterwards.
Monopoly, Trivial Pursuit.
Uno,
yeah. Skip Bow's great. Mousetrap's bad.
Yeah. I only ever set up the traps and just watched all the things go.
Yeah, that's the only reason you would do it, you know?
Yeah, the whole Rube Goldberg.
Because the game
thing.
Surrounding that machine is not good.
I don't remember the rules enough. I just remember, like, you had to, like, catch mice in the center and whoever, like, had the most mice inside lost or something like that.
So of our audience here, you know, if you have ever played Mousetrap and used the goddamn rules, hit us up because this is for science now.
At SQLR Pod.
Yep.
Or jump into our Discord.
Or jump into our Discord and we'll talk about Mousetrap.
Whether or not Dane is the only one, because I have a sneaking suspicion he is, aside from like maybe the designers.
I am old as fuck. And not only am I old as fuck, I have like much older siblings.
This is not a matter of age, sir. This is a matter of, like, what the hell?
Yeah, don't throw age into this.
Adam, you got me by a year, but you're also the oldest in as far as the siblings and stuff go there. I have a brother who's 8 years older than me and a sister who's 5, so, it might be the issue, but I don't know, because it came out in 1990, it looks like the commercial was. I don't know when the actual game came out, but, so that would make me, like, 7. When that thing came out.
Okay. Well, to bring us back on topic here, we're here to play some D&D, aren't we?
Hell yeah!
And over the past couple sessions, as your party is currently in Targos, you have defeated the Shardalin Dragon. You have established that Tavini's parents are holed up somewhere. Not in Dugan's Hole anymore, because that place got leveled. They're instead in Bryn Shander, with the other survivors from Dugan's Hole, living in a warehouse of some kind? Maybe a shed?
Yeah, it's fucked up.
You also have learned some information about Rian's mother. That similar to Tavini's parents, she is no longer in her hometown of Goodmead, but has instead taken up residence in Bryn Shander. Now, she's a little better off, having joined the guards. You know, they kind of swelled their ranks with all these refugees coming into town, and she, you know, won a nice cushy spot in that brigade.
Fuck yeah. Because Sersha Stormlight's badass.
Hell yeah. And you learned all this thanks to the kindness of Speaker Nerth, the leader of Targos, who, of all the towns you've been to, seems to be the most well-put-together collection of people here in Icewind Dale, where everyone else is kind of, you know, living like chickens with their heads cut off, they're disorganized, or they're just kind of like, you know, making do. Speaker Nerth is really the only leader whose people have sort of organized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these were the people that when the Shardalin dragon was inbound, they were not running for the hills, they were not fleeing for their lives or hiding in basements. They had improvised weapons ready, and they were singing sailor chants, getting ready to fight off a goddamn dragon. So just, in Targos, they seem built different.
I like that. They're built different in Targos.
That's right. Targos, you know, built different.
Something worth exploring at some point.
That's like their catchphrase, of Targos, built different.
Built different. Built Targos tough.
That's a good one.
Targos tough.
Yep.
And now I'm extra glad we didn't fight the dragon in the city.
Yeah. They probably would have we probably wouldn't even have had to if they'd have gotten a city, though. They probably just swarmed out of their houses and just chopped the thing down into pieces.
Yeah, they probably would have harpooned it to death, all awesome pirate style.
Fucking all the ships, like, fire harpooned, like, drag it out into the sea. we made the right choice.
Yeah, we took all the glory for ourselves. They don't get any.
Goddamn right.
And they seem to have respected you for that. You know, from the time that you've defeated the dragon, Speaker Nerth has been able to supply you with mounts. You know, he even did that before the fight. And now after, you know, you asked if there was anywhere where you could house the people from Dugan's Hole. Oh, absolutely. Bring them to Targos. You know, if there was any means of finding Sorsha, your mother there, Rian.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, found him. She's in Bryn Shander. There hasn't yet really been a catch. There's just been gratitude for defeating the dragon.
Yup.
I like how she says so far.
I was going to say, not to put too fine a point on that, but literally somebody told us to watch out for him. Who was that? Somebody was like, don't trust the speaker. And I don't remember.
Dazan.
It was Dazan. Okay, I thought it was Dazan, but I was like, how would he know? But,
how would he know? I don't know.
Exactly. Like,
then again, I don't trust Dazan, so.
I think Dazan is like us. Like some of us, I should say. Like, where he's.
Dazan and Felgrin are like the same. Felgrin might be nicer than Dazan.
Now, 100% now. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like some time spent with us, maybe getting to know Miri a little bit because she's so goddamn just precious, that will melt the ice around his heart and it'll grow 3 sizes that day. And. And next thing you know, he is...
It's a dangerous medical condition.
So, now, speaking of Dazan, sort of wrap up this and then we'll get into the game proper.
Yeah.
Your resident wizard has approached you with a solution...
Good old spell book.
...to, the darkness that lies over Icewind Dale. That there is a hidden city in the Regged Glacier to the northeast. He's not quite sure how to find or how to access it, but he has a sneaking suspicion that there is a book in Arl's ownership that could assist you in that matter. And no one's really quite sure where she makes her lair. It is thought, you know, that she's out on the ocean somewhere on an island. Getting there is going to be another matter entirely that you're going to have to figure out. You have a couple of options. One option that's been floated past you has been to reach out to Revel's End, which is a sort of prison colony on the far north end of the coast, where the worst of the worst are kept from society. Any other options are up to you to explore for. But as a quote-unquote day in this perpetual cycle of night is dawning, you're all getting yourselves ready for whatever it is you have on your minds to do while you're waiting for Helda, one of your dwarven companions, to show up in town.
Mm-hmm.
What is everyone doing?
Ooh, what are we doing?
What are we doing?
Tavini's going to head out, actually.
She's just taking off.
She's going to head out to the dragon.
Oh, gotcha.
And she's going to cast a spell that she has.
She's going to resurrect it. God damn it.
Yep.
Yeah, just you wait and see. She's going to have her own Shardalyn dragon.
Oh, she knew not to trust Tamini.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, fuck. How awful. How crazy would that be if fucking Tamini became the BBEG in the middle of this?
That would be some
shit.
Next level shit. I'm not gonna
that
lie.
Would be, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Don't.
Our little inventor repairs it.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
my
I
God.
Think Elise is nicer than that, or maybe I'm wrong.
I agree.
Probably.
Okay, Tavini is casting Analyze Device.
Oh.
You discover all mechanical properties, mechanisms, and functions of a single construct or clockwork device, including how to activate or deactivate those functions if appropriate.
Wow. That's awesome.
Ooh, okay. She well, then we're going to let me pull up the stat block of it here.
Yep. Do you got
and
the schematics?
The schematics.
Yep. Pull up the schematics real fast. I need the blueprints. Where's my blue papers?
No, I feel like I should probably just give you full access to the character sheet of this thing.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah.
This has got awesome or horrible written all over it.
So we'll see.
I mean, really, all we have to do is pass our madness checks every 24 hours.
Now, yeah, I'll start reading it off, but for the sake of Tavini to be able to access it within our game, it's in the Actors Directory under Chapter 4, Shardalyn Dragon Encounter.
Ooh!
Ooh, yeah. So,
oh my god.
Yeah. But anyway, for our listeners to kind of give them some ideas of what it is here. And fair warning, if you plan on playing Icewind Dale, there's going to be some spoilers over the next couple minutes. This thing has, dear Tavini, a 24 strength, 11 dexterity, 19 con, 10 intelligence and wisdom, and 3 charisma. Dark vision out to 120 feet. Immune to cold and poison damage. Resistant to radiant and non-magical physical damage. Immune to the majority of conditions. Is a chonky bastard. I modified the health a little. It's at 250.
That's a technical term.
A chonky bastard.
Yeah, chonky bastard. That was my nickname chonky. Back in high school.
That's right.
Has a radiant breath attack that does 120 foot line, 5 foot wide, 7d8 radiant damage.
Laser beams.
Laser beams. A malevolent presence where if you're within a certain proximity to it, you have to succeed a DC 16 wisdom saving throw or be charmed by it. In which case, the dragon picks targets for you and you are compelled to attack them. Its form cannot be forcibly changed. It is resistant to magic. It does double damage against structures. And does not require air, food, drink, or sleep. But all that stuff's just from the stat block. What you probably would want to know most is that this thing can only be repaired, because I imagine Analyze Device would give this, by its creator, or at the forge in the mountains that you guys encountered, the one at Sunblight.
Oh. Still think we should take that place over. That shit is ours now.
Oh, just go take the Sunblight Fortress?
Why not? We'll just change that to our thing. Put a fucking teleportation circle there or some shit. Just like start bringing people in. That'd be sweet.
You just have to fight off all of the creatures that come up from the Underdark. No big deal.
We'll seal it up.
Yeah. Detonate some devices there, a cave in. Don't ever have to worry about it again.
Hells yeah. We'll go havesies with the dwarves and be like, hey guys, check this out. And then it'll be sweet. That'll become the new White Moose. Like under new management.
White
put a
Moose
big ass
keep.
Sign out front of it. Yeah, White Moose Keep. I love it. We'll put that big fucking head just outside the castle above the fucking entryway.
But was there anything else you wanted to know about it, Tavini?
She's trying to figure out how it functions, how it has its own intelligence and wisdom.
Ooh,
and
okay.
What powers it and how it powers it and how it flies. She's trying to, like, she's writing down everything that she learns in order to create her own little mechanical being.
Hopefully not made of Shardalyn.
Preferably not made of Shardalyn. But, you know, Tamini.
Yeah, fair, Tamini. So, you would learn that part of what animated it, that fiery heart that you destroyed, was the heart of a red dragon. Kept alive by magic. and removed from this thing's body, sort of powering it remotely. But there was also another intelligence there, not quite enough to like have sentience, but that fury was fueled by demonic magics.
Ooh.
Kept in check by the mechanisms of the dwarves, but nonetheless they are running rampant. So if you want to go and find yourselves a dragon to kill and some demons to enslave,
seems doable.
Seems doable.
Yeah, we've met a dragon already. A dickhead one. And demons. I mean, what's that but a bad ritual? I mean, we can accidentally do that anytime.
Accidentally do it.
I mean, think about it. Like, isn't that what demons end up like? I always wondered that. It's like, you know, you try to successfully summon a demon, but like, all the good stories are always when you tried to do something else and then you fucked up the thing. So we could just accidentally do a different one and make demons come.
Deliberately, accidentally summon a demon.
Exactly. We'll just take something very holy, completely fuck it up, and then next thing you know, you got demons. It's in every movie, like, across the board. I'm telling you. That's all you gotta do.
Fair.
It's an easier shortcut. I don't know why people don't do it more often. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, let's see.
if you wanna fuck the demon so bad, just summon an angel.
The only parts of the dragon not forged from Shardolin are its wing flaps, which are made of an oily film as tough as rubber, and its heart, which is an orb of pulsating radiant energy. Demonic magic suffusing the Shardolin imbues the construct with malevolence, allowing it to enjoy the terror it causes.
Jesus.
This effect extends outward from it, corrupting other creatures who get too close to the dragon.
That's fucked up. So it, like, enjoyed those... what it was doing? That's fucked.
Yep. Those affected by the dragon's presence turn their efforts to helping the dragon inflict suffering on others.
So that's what happened. Krellic, you were a psycho for a second. Mortizan got the full brunt of it.
Oops.
Yep.
Oops.
My bad.
Oops. Yeah, so is that everything you needed there, Tavini?
And then just basic things like joints and skeletal structure and...
You would have access to all of that. I am not going to go into like another 10-minute description of like how this thing physically functions, but...
Yeah, I'm going to leave that to the imagination because Tavini is substantially smarter than I am.
Me too. She's way smarter than I am.
Yeah, me. That was stupid. Okay, that just proves how smart I'm not because I like fake pushed up glasses I don't have in an audio format. So that was one of the dumbest things I've ever done. So
well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, and with the, I know that you have the keen mind feat, so yeah, you can absolutely memorize everything that you learn from the analyze device spell.
Whoop, whoop, pickle. I've got a lot of notes to make now, so.
On to the next person.
So are we being asked kind of what we're doing before we leave? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, essentially.
I guess Felgren doesn't really do physical labor. So he would be putting on a magic show.
Okay.
For Keeds.
Okay, so while
so using things like major image and prestidigitation.
Okay, so while there are people sort of going about their day-to-day jobs here in Targos, making what repairs they need to, which thankfully are minimal, helping to house, you know, refugees from Bremen that start drifting this direction, you find yourself outside of the inn that you've spent the night at, the Luskin Arms. And initially, it's only like maybe one or two neighbor kids that come by and kind of see you practicing magic and they hang around. And you're a sucker for an audience.
Uh-huh, yes.
Uh-huh. You start playing it up to them and after a couple of minutes, one of them runs off and there's a little bit of disappointment. They're like, oh, maybe I scared him or maybe... he's just not into magic. The other one remains and is just like awestruck. So we at least have somebody staying around.
Hooray!
It is about 10 minutes later that you see distantly a cohort of small bodies making their way your direction.
Army of children.
As the first child that had run off has brought a small army of youngsters that all sort of crowd around in the snow, and it's actually, it gets to a point where it's a little difficult to cast because there's probably about a dozen children there of, you know, varying ages that are all trying to get as close as they can, and they're, like, trying to, like, you know, look into your components pouch, and, you got people tugging on your elbows, like, Mister, how do you do that? Clamoring to be taught.
Well, unfortunately, my talents can't be taught.
There's a collective, aww!
Yes, I'm sorry. But, there is a place that should you visit, it may just happen. And he'll make, like, images of the Feywild behind him.
You can't just send kids to the Feywild!
I was gonna say, it's like, fine for Felgren.
He's not a parent.
Like, the most deadly place.
You think, these are lines that he won't cross? You're wrong.
So he's just created an army of warlocks for the Fey patrons.
Oh, hey. That's awesome.
You're welcome, Targos
is fucking even more dangerous.
Yeah, so pity here the next in the... And the cold and the snow, you know, most of the kids that have gathered around, they seem to have completely forgotten just how cold it is and just how dark it is. Because the illusions that you're painting for them here, you know, under the ribbon of Arl's Aurora, which is colorful, your illusions are more colorful. You're providing them depictions of sprawling fields of blue-green grass, of trees that are twisted and gnarled into terrifying and wondrous shapes. That ripple with color when, you know, entities pass through them, birds and the like. Of the various fey creatures that you are familiar with. Ones that would both terrify and dazzle the imagination. And over a good amount of time, a good hour or so, you just weave for them a fantasy of the Feywild. And there's even, like, a couple of adults that have kind of, you know, they're hanging back from behind the kids. And are kind of keeping an eye on you. But... there isn't any sense of suspicion from them. I mean, you're one of the heroes that stopped that goddamn dragon from destroying their town. There is a bemusement of like, wow, this guy kills dragons and he's also like good with kids? Where do I sign up? Getting a little bit of that from some of the ladies that are watching and some of the men too.
Nice.
Nice.
It's all right with that. Felgrin's all about the love.
All the love to go around.
That's right. But he just likes weaving illusions. And this is how he can keep himself busy. And if, you know, people seem to enjoy it, well, I guess that's a bonus.
Targos in a decade becomes a den of fey-packed warlocks.
I love it. I fucking love that. It's such a cool idea.
It's a very cool idea, yeah.
It's fucking next adventure. Fucking... either we play as those kids or fucking we have to stop those kids as they fucking go on a rampage across the town.
Oh.
Yeah. Stranger things.
Not even a bad rampage. They're out there living their best lives, just happening to leave like destruction and chaos in their wake.
Yep. All because fucking a lone tiefling taught them to go for their dreams and do whatever the fuck they want.
You can become a sorcerer if you go to the Feywild.
Yeah. Do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. Don't let people's rules have any type of control over you.
Rules are for nerds. You're not a nerd, are you? But yeah, that's what Felgren is doing.
Yep. All right, what about everyone else?
I think Rian's just essentially waiting. Like, he's not really doing anything. He's, like, really amping himself up for this little trip, going back down to Bryn Shander to find his mom. And so I think he is occupying himself just with, like, physicality, like, helping people move shit around. And all. Like, Grin says he's not much of the manual labor guy, and that's what Rian knows. So I'm sure he wanders his way down to the docks just to, you know... just to help out and just move shit, do whatever he needs to do, help out, like, you know, bringing in supplies type thing, and say nothing spectacular or big, just doing manual labor to pass the time until people are ready to head out. So
as you head down to the docks, and you're seeing a number of people that are trying to chip some of the ships out of the ice. From what you're seeing there, the conversations you're overhearing when someone you know, thrusts a pick into your hands. This is a regular occurrence. Mm-hmm. That as the water gets deeper, the ice sheet, it stays thick, but it's able to be broken through, and they're able to get ships out into the actual lake mm-hmm. beyond the harbor walls. So you join a line of people that are at the bow of one of these ships, chipping away at the ice. It is very intense labor, but people are passing around flasks, and they're, you know, chatting and singing, and they're making bets on, like, who's gonna bring in the biggest haul. And after about an hour of working on the line here, you hear a few cries of alarm and what sounds like the crack of sail wings, but you are familiar enough with them that you're like, oh, that's dragon wing. As a dark shape glides overhead, and you recognize your daughter in flight. Mm-hmm. And she flies over the group that is currently working and comes crashing down onto the ice about 100 feet away. It sort of skids on the ice, and you can hear like the sound of her claws digging and making gouges. And when she finally kind of corrects herself from slipping and sliding on the ice, she starts bounding towards you in the darkness. And a number of people near you are all dropping their tools and are scrambling behind the ship. But she comes to a skittering halt. And, hey, can I help?
Absolutely, dearie. You want to try digging a little bit? I bet you can do quite a bit with those claws.
Yeah, And she looks at her claws and she looks at the ship. I'm gonna dig a little over that way.
Like, I'll join you.
I wanna make a hole.
You wanna make a hole? Ah, I see.
Well, I wanna make a hole. I don't wanna make a hole in the ship.
Oh, gotcha. Well, I'll join you over there.
As you're having this conversation, those people who have sort of ducked behind the boat you guys are trying to dig out, there's several heads popping out from around the corner. And when they realize, like, okay, this isn't a threat, this is actually something helpful, they come out and they resume their work. And over time, mm-hmm. as like an hour passes and 2 hours pass after Miri joins you, you notice that there's more and more people trying to, like, help around her mm-hmm. than there are actually helping where the ship is currently locked in ice.
Nice. Everybody wants to hang out with the dragon.
Yeah.
I can't blame them.
No, I mean, and she's just, like I said, she's adorable and fantastic. So it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, she's occasionally doing that thing where, like, once together, you've weakened the ice enough. Mm-hmm. She kind of, you know, nudges the people back.
Nice.
And does that thing that a fox does when they're hopping into snow, yeah. you know, pouncing onto something. And she'll just hop into it and crack through the ice and disappear into the water underneath. So there's like a series of holes that gradually form almost like a highway in the ice for the ship to start slowly be eased out of into deeper waters.
Excellent. I love it.
Every time she comes back out of the water, just dripping wet and cold, mm-hmm. Herself unaffected by the cold, but there is a little bit of mischief in her, and she, you know, maybe one of her wings isn't quite quick enough to tuck into her body, so you get drizzled on a little.
Like, easy. Like, I'm not as resistant to the cold as you are.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Nah, it's okay, my dear. Oh, I see what you're doing there. Yeah, I think you're clever.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah, sure you didn't. Like, you forget I feel when you're up to no good.
Oh, the tragedy of never being able to pull a prank. It's okay, I'll just ask Valgrin.
This sarcasm is new, and I'm not really appreciating that at all. We're gonna have to start setting some, like, some boundaries. You only get, like, 1 hour with Valgrin a week, or a day. Week seems
much. It's a little
much.
Hard when we travel everywhere together.
True.
I could sit on him sometime.
Sit on him?
Yeah. You know, revenge.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, he does enjoy a good prank. So if you ever want to just, you know, tease him a little bit, give him a little zap, you know, I'm sure he'd think it hilarious.
As you mentioned giving him a little zap,
yeah.
Her face breaks out in the biggest, evilest, draconic grin you've seen from her yet.
Yeah. Make sure he's got his full spell slots before you get too crazy.
Oh, or, yeah, nothing to harm him.
Well rested, I should say. Spell slots.
All right, how about Dreamer and Krellick? You two up to anything, or?
I mean, Krellick saw strength, so he's going to be moving stuff and helping repair. So him and the bear are just clearing wreckage and helping fix.
Yeah, thankfully here in Targos, there isn't much wreckage, but there are a number of people who have sort of come from Bremen, a town to the northwest that got hit, the last town to get hit before the dragon was defeated. And, you know, Speaker Nerth has organized a collection of people, and you join them of setting up new shelters. Once all the any empty homes or any empty structures within the town have been filled, you know, to a comfortable capacity, they're not packing people in, you join a crew of people that are working on building temporary lean-tos and wooden shelters to sort of get people out of the cold. And it's certainly labor. But much like the sailors on the dockside, there are drinks being passed around and people are, you know, finding reasons to be cheerful in the dark, even though they're working to house refugees. And they build a series of lean-tos along that northwestern wall where there's a great deal of a windbreak. So it's actually kind of like a comfortable spot for these. But as you're working, you notice, among all the other people that are helping to work on the structure as well, that the speaker is there and has rolled up his sleeves and is trying to help, like, put up beams and hammer in structures.
Nice. I think Krellick kind of liked seeing that. Someone not afraid to get their hands dirty.
Krellick liked that.
Krellick liked that much.
Krellick is that gif meme. That gif meme of the guy from, like, the 70s, like, staring and smiling and then nodding.
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite gifs. Love that one.
The fucking... This Jeremiah one? Johnson?
Is that his name?
I don't know. That's what I like that saw it read, but... is that from Jeremiah Johnson?
I don't know.
Because I saw someone put that as, like, Jeremiah Johnson, Robert Redford, but I don't think that's Robert Redford, is it? Because Jeremiah Johnson's a great movie, but I don't know if that's, it. No, it is. That's absolutely what that's from. Jeremiah Johnson. That's Robert Redford. A young Robert Redford.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a great movie. That is what Dances with Wolves was essentially based on. Like, that movie is, like, the predecessor to Dances with Wolves. But, I'm not going to go into that. Never mind. We're in a board game. But, good movie.
All right, is Dreamer up to anything?
I think Dreamer, probably from somewhere in town, sees Miri flying overhead and decides to mimic that in some way.
What?
And Dreamer is going to wild shape into an owl and basically just check in on everyone as the owl.
You have been waiting for this for so long.
I have wanted to fly for so long.
I feel you, buddy. I feel you. I still got a level.
Yay! It's the first time Dreamer's flying.
Yeah!
Hooray!
Fucking
all right.
Never-ending story theme starts playing.
Mm-hmm. So you're kind of just doing what? Like Overwatch?
Flying around the town, swooping in. Yeah. Like, probably swoops in the middle of Felgren's show.
Yeah, it's really nice because as you're swooping in through some of the illusory trees that Felgren has created, as you pass through them, they're changing colors. And kind of like some of the branches are getting out of your way. Even though they're illusory and you're not going to crash into them, it's like they're responding a little to your presence. And a couple of the kids like turn their eyes to watch the owl go like, oh! Because you don't look like a normal owl. Do you look like a... Describe to us what... Dreamer looks like as an owl.
I posted an image.
Is it Bubo?
No, but it looks badass. Yeah.
No, it looks great.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like part wood, part metal. Fucking the feathers are like look almost like little balsa wood. Fucking
they look like ceiling fan blades.
Exactly. Yeah, like
that's pretty cool.
Little steampunk owl.
Yeah, a little.
Yeah. Oh, it's adorable. So
badass. It is badass. I love it. It's perfect for him too, because that's like how he's arranged. You know, just pieces of wood, a little bit of metal here and there. I love it.
Yep, looks great.
You were sitting on that for a while, weren't you?
I just found that image 5 minutes ago.
Nice.
Hey,
that's the way it's at. That's where it's at, baby.
Okay. Well, as you are flying from location to location, just sort of keeping tabs on people, you know, you go over, you fly, and you see Rian helping with ships out in the harbor, and Miri with him. Fly and see where they're preparing space for the Bremen refugees on the northwest side of town, where Krellic and the Speaker are. You know, you circle out, and you're, you know, it's a little hard to find Tavini, and you think, like, oh, I should probably go check the Shardalan Dragon, and you fly out there, sure enough. She's there in the snow, taking studious notes in the light of a lantern. Which is kind of what tipped you off that there was even somebody out there. It's just this lone spark of light in the otherwise flat tundra. But as you are circling back over town, and you're near the town hall, your passive perception is massive. So yep. You see a slim, winged body that other people would probably miss. It's not very large. Gliding through the darkness towards the town hall.
Oh, I'm a snoop.
You a snoop?
You gonna snoop?
I'm gonna snoop.
Snoop, snoop-a-doop.
I knew.
You didn't know nothing. Oh, don't
get in there. Get in there and get your snoop on.
Yeah, get your snoop on. Get your snoop on. Did you know that okay. one? Did you know I was gonna do that one, Adam?
That one I did.
So, following this shape in the darkness, you see it alight on one of the windowsills on the second story of the town hall. And in the oil lantern light that's spilling out of the window, you see a brilliantly colored serpent. You know, red scales, wings tucked in on either side. It sort of coils up on the windowsill and huddles into a corner and beats on the glass with one of its wings. And you see somebody come to the windowsill. An armored tiefling that you would recognize as Speaker Nerth's second-in-command, Captain Skaith, who lifts up the windowsill, you know, opens the window for it, and takes the snake inside before closing the window behind him. And he steps out of sight from where you are. You'd have to, you know, be near the window to get a better look inside.
Yeah, I want to see.
I'm so proud of you.
Okay. So if you could, as an owl, roll me a stealth check.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, don't land with a clunk.
Clunk, 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 clunk.
Clunk, 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 hiss.
Oh.
Ooh, that's a 6. Plus 3. Ooh, that's, yeah.
Okay.
Is this gonna go great?
I'm not used to flying.
Owl, not stealthy. Like, that's
as the snake is brought inside and the window is closed, you go to fly in a little closer and get a better idea of, like, what's going on in there. And you don't land on the windowsill. You try to. You manage to get to the very lip of it, and your little claws come out, and when you grip onto what should be wood underfoot, it's nothing but ice.
Mm. Oh no!
And in trying to overcorrect, you thunk your head against the window, and it rattles a little. And you see that the speaker's second-in-command, Captain Skaith, has taken the serpent, and his back is currently to the window, and you can see it coiled around his arm, and you see a slim tube of some kind, like a wooden tube, tied to its underside that he is currently popping the lid off of and taking a small, what looks to be a tightly coiled scroll from. So this thing is delivering messages. And there are a pair of hooded figures within the room that are both sitting at chairs near a fire. You're not able to make out their faces, but their fingers are tented as if they're waiting for word from Captain Skaith on something. And as soon as your forehead thumps against the window, all three of their heads, you know, Captain Skaith looks over his shoulder, and these two hooded figures, their eyes both whip to the window and look directly at you.
Bye. Robot owl just like, and just fucking takes off.
Goodbye.
Yep. Goodbye. This was
all right, so what does it look like? What does Dreamer look like when he runs away? I want to know. I want this picture in my head.
Probably just drops backwards.
Just steps off the ledge and plummets. And then just out of there.
Cheese it.
Okay. And where are you cheesing it to? Are you going back to the Luskin Arms? Or?
I'm going to fly out away from the town.
Okay, what direction? Are you heading out into, like, the protected bay a little? Are you heading south of town towards Bryn Shander? You want to head out to where Tavini is, to the west?
I'm going to head out towards Bryn Shander.
Okay, okay. Yeah, so as you wing southward from the town hall, beating your wings as fast as you can, you find yourself passing over a number of the homes and businesses here in Targos, and over the wall, you know, the wooden palisade that surrounds the town, out to the road that extends from Targos's southern gate, sort of, you know, meandering southeast and heading in the general direction of Bryn Shander. And there aren't many people traveling on that road. Like, you've seen sign while you were on your way to Bryn Shander from the likes of Dugan's Hole of a lot of foot traffic. There's not nearly as much foot traffic in this area. But to be expected, no one here is fleeing to Bryn Shander. It's otherwise quiet and safe? Safe.
Question mark?
I'm relieved. Nice and safe.
I'm sold.
I would have believed you until you said it like that, and I was like...
The second time? Safe? Safe.
Oh, no.
All right, it's then. Fine. Don't worry. Keep your secrets.
Do it.
It's fucking Frodo. I just got that image in my head.
You forget I love mind games as
that's
a DM,
true.
So...
It's true. She does.
Head games!
And we love you for the mind games, because it just keeps us on our toes constantly, like,
constant vigilance.
So what you doing, buddy?
I'll check out the road, fly back to town. I got so long. I got 4 hours of wild shape.
Are you just going to use all of them and just stay on the move?
I want to milk every second of it.
Okay.
I'll check out the road. I'll fly back to Targos and hang out.
You go watch Felgrin's magic show.
For us, that's got to be obvious it's Dreamer. Like, if he just, yeah, like, landed on a rooftop and we're like, yeah, that's Dreamer.
Oh, that's your standard wood and metal owl.
Yep. We've seen him turn into, like, a half dozen animals now that are all just wood and metal. And just now it's like, well, he can fly now. That's terrifying.
Yeah, he's also blinking weirdly at you with his, yep, different colored eyes.
You're, yeah, like, plus okay, the other Dreamer. Two colored eyes. That's always going to give it away, too, for us.
Yep.
At least for us.
Yeah.
Dreamer's, like, the most conspicuous wild shaper in the world.
It's never for blending in.
No, it's... But it does look awesome.
It does look awesome. It's way cooler. Fuck blending in. Being a badass, like, fucking Model T slash elk, yeah, is fucking sweet.
A Model T elk. I need that fan, yeah, art.
A Model E.
Felgrin, it is partway through your show, and you've had a lot of eyes on you for a while. And now you have a sense of other eyes upon you. It's a little eerie. And even though you keep up the performance, you stay smiling, you continue creating your illusions, you're kind of scanning for, like, what the hell is staring at me? And your eyes are drawn to a nearby roof where a green eye and a blue eye, illuminated as if from within, and tiny, weirdly small, are both watching you.
She just kind of stares for a second, distracted, and then continues. Try to make it so it doesn't mess up his performance.
Ooh, would in you... this case, give me a performance, uh-huh, check.
Ooh, there we go.
A one!
Oh, you ruined it, bud. It's all Dreamer's fault.
Yeah.
It's distracting enough that all of the weird experiences that you've had with Dreamer, of him, like, stalking people at night, of looming over them as they're sleeping, of staring at people and doing that weird blink thing.
Wait, he's been stalking people at night? Wait a minute. You're more terrifying.
Not stalking, but certainly, like, being vigilant. All that weirdness starts bleeding into your magic, and you don't really notice, because you're still distracted by the owl, until one of the kids screams, and you realize as you turn around that your illusion of a fey forest has suddenly erupted in eyes that are staring at all these kids from the branches and freaking them out.
Nice, that's cool.
Whoops.
He's going to... drop the illusion and just point his finger at Dreamer. You, come here. And he's going to cast Vortex Warp on Dreamer.
Oh, nice. You've been waiting for that shit. Everybody using all their new fucking toys. They're just like...
That requires a save if I don't want to go, right?
It does. Constitution.
Oh no. I'm an owl.
Yeah, how good's your constitution as an owl?
Yes.
I can't believe your stealth check's not better as an owl. That's crazy to me that it's.
And I'm going to heightened spell it.
You're gonna give me disadvantage, you fuck.
Yes.
That is awesome. He's like, oh no, you're coming here.
DC 16.
Natty 20 and a natty 19 right here. Watch this.
Cool.
Yes, roll a disadvantage, so that's going to be...
Damn.
A one?
Oh. Yeah.
An unnatural one, because you have a minus one constitution. You're brave.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay, so what does it look like, Felgrin, when an owl that doesn't want to be there is suddenly brought there?
I think just the air around Dreamer starts to kind of twist in a really uncomfortable way. And then just zip pop, he's right, like, at his feet.
As the air is, like, twisting just... around Dreamer, Dreamer, like, turns around. You know, like how an owl turns their head around?
Tries to fly away.
Like, who, me?
Yeah. Who? Who,
God
me?
Damn it!
Me?
Dummies.
Dreamer, you go from the roof and you're suddenly chest deep in snow at Felgrin's feet.
A little bit of a screech comes out of the owl, sounding like metal on metal, like scraping.
Quit staring at me, and he's going to try and kick Dreamer.
Jesus. Oh my god.
He has 8 strength. I think he'll be alright.
Well, hold on. Can I get a improvised attack roll?
Yes, you may.
And Dreamer, what's an owl's AC?
Some.
4. Some. A few.
I don't.
What do I roll for that?
I don't know if I.
That's a 1d20. Plus yeah. Your strength.
Yeah,
your
so it's got to be like a strength.
I think it'd
roll.
Be strength.
Yeah, for this strength. So whatever this is.
I can
is.
Look up an owl if you want.
7.
That's not gonna
get
do
negative
it.
One.
So he attempts to kick.
Yeah,
Dreamer. And I guess, yeah, that's about it. He's so frustrated. It feels like to him, he looks up, every time he looks up, Dreamer's looking at him. And I think he does it. And I think Felgrin's convinced he does it on purpose. Dreamer, he knows more about social cues than he lets on. That's Felgren's convinced of it.
Yeah, you go to kick at the owl, and your foot sort of spins wildly. It goes a little off course, and you don't lose your balance. You almost do, but you manage to keep your footing.
And then he'll remember where he is. He's like, "Kids, go find your parents or something. Goodbye." And he just kind of waves them off.
Show's over.
Show's over. Get out of the snow, stupid. He's gonna help him up. Lift up the little owl. What are you doing?
Screech.
He doesn't even talk right now. Fine. Just walks away. He doesn't
with
understand
the owl
druids.
Your hands or...
No, he
Did
helped.
You drop him or you take him with him?
He helped him up. He didn't pick him up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he didn't pick him up and carry him, no. He's just walking away from him now.
And Dreamer will follow behind.
Flying or walking as the owl?
Walking?
That would be awesome. Just waddle super slow.
Just
that seems like I've waited so long. I'm not going to not be an owl.
Thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed, please like, follow, and leave a comment. Also, you can support us at patreon.com/sqlrpod. You can follow us on Twitter at sqlrpod, or join our Discord through our invite banner at shortquestlongrest.wordpress.com. Keep smiling. We'll see you next time, fam.